Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. It's training camp week here for the Tennessee Titans. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm a delight. Robbie, how are you today?
Outstanding. We have made it to training camp, which means Corey, I'll be excited about that for about 3 days, and then I'll say, all right, let's get to the football games around here. I do want to get your thoughts on this because I've seen some Titans fans that are mad about this. So PFF did this tight end ranking, tight ends 1 through 32, and Gunnar Helm is not on the list. Your boy Colston Loveland is number 5 on the list. But what do you make of Gunnar Helm not being 1 through 32 on the list of best tight ends according to PFF? Does he have some bulletin board material heading into all this?
Well, I mean, look, if you need bulletin board material, then I'm sorry. But, I mean, look, this team's won 6 games in 2 years. Jeffrey Simmons just got ranked number 83, all right? If Jeffrey Simmons is number 83, then Gunnar Helm is number, like, 50 on the tight ends, okay? you're going to get disrespected when you win 6 games in 2 years. And, you know, he's got a lot to prove still. I mean, I think Gunnar Helm had a fine rookie season, but was he Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland or Brock Bowers?
No, he wasn't.
You know, he's got a nice catch radius. You know, he's got some craft to his route running because he's a former receiver. I don't know if he's got elite athleticism like some of these guys. I think he's got a lower ceiling than some of them do. I know there are some people who are big Gunnar Helm fans, and I don't hate Gunnar Helm. I'm not dissing on Gunnar Helm. I'm just, you know, we've seen young tight ends come in and be difference makers, and I don't think he was that last year.
Are you moonlighting and doing tight end rankings for Pro Football Focus? Have we discovered something here?
No. Okay, well, let me ask this. I have not seen the whole list. We did discuss this some last night, but I haven't seen the whole list. What guys on there would you put him ahead of?
Well, Chig's on there. I mean,
okay, I'd put Chig ahead of him.
Okay, I haven't seen the whole list.
Well, I mean, there's, you know,
if I knew Corey Roeder,
there are guys on the list that I think used to be good that are still on there. Like, you know, Cole Kmet is on there at number 31. I think okay,
Cole Kmet's better than he is.
Cole Kmet probably used to be better than he is. I don't know that he is now. Evan Engram is on there.
Not that old. Cole Kmet's been in the league like 5-6 years.
I know. What'd he do last year?
He's number 2. He's number 2. That's why.
He's fading.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, part of this list is
a
projection.
Let me ask you right now. If you could have Colston Loveland, I mean, not Colston, if you could have Cole Kmet or Gunnar Helm, which one do you want?
Right now?
Yeah, right.
I'll take
now.
The guy who actually might be getting better over the next few years.
Okay. Well, I'm going to disagree with you there.
Okay, that's fine.
So we have you officially down as a hater of Gunnar Helm.
Beyond that,
all right, that's fine. Everybody's got haters. You know, like you said, you know, these guys shouldn't need the Baltimore, but yet they always are also desperate to find it, right? There's got to be a hater. There's got to be a chip on the shoulder, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so this week, Corey, not the all of camp, but just this week, what are you most interested to find out? What's the most interesting information that we can get out of this week with the Titans in these first few days?
Well, you know, there's not a lot of pads, and so there's not a lot we can find out about the offensive line other than, like, who's running with the ones. But I guess for me, I really want to see Carnell Tate, and I want to see him build off of the spring that he had. I want to see him continue to look like that guy. I want to see him, you know, look like a guy who looks like he's, you know, ahead above everyone else in the talent category at that position.
What do you make of how the cornerback room shapes up, and really the starting cornerback room. So you've got Taylor coming in, you've got Flott coming in. I mean, I would assume Marcus Harris is going to be there. So how do you feel about that trio based on the way in Flott and Taylor's case that they played at a starting level in the NFL before, adding to that room, and then you've got Harris coming in year two here with the Titans?
Well, I like Alante. I like, you know, he's a physical player. He's got speed. He's got a lot of snaps under him, and I've seen him play. I'm going to be honest. I haven't paid a lot of attention when Cordell Flott was with the Giants,
okay,
watching a lot of Cordell Flott tape. All right, and then I didn't see him at all this spring, so I haven't seen a lot of him. We've seen them invest in this spot before, and it didn't work out. And so, you know, you can't take anything for granted that, hey, this is going to be the be-all, end-all. And, you know, you're counting on, what was Marcus Harris, a sixth-round pick last year or a seventh?
What was he?
I thought he was a fifth, but I could be wrong.
No, he was a seventh.
Let's see.
Was he a seventh?
I believe he was, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's some value.
Six. There we go. Sixth round pick. We officially have the sixth round.
I mean, shoot, Cortland Finnegan was the seventh. So, you know, you can be a late draft pick and be a good player. It's allowed. But I just, you know, I got to see it all work. Now, we all know that the best friend of cornerback is a pass rush. And, you know, if Simmons and Franklin Myers and, you know, Martin and Johnson can get heat on the quarterback, it'll make those guys better players. I guess to say it nicely, it can't go worse than a Woozie and Snead went.
That's a good point.
By the way, did you know, Corey, that Dan Moore also was not ranked among the top 32 tackles by
You'll
PFF?
Be stunned to know.
Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think wasn't he ranked like second to last or something?
What, among left tackles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, is that right? Was he that bad?
I think last year he was, yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, well, but he was still infinitely better than Dennis Daly and Andre Dillard.
It's true.
And Nicholas Petit-Frere. To tell you how bad those guys were, he was infinitely better than those guys.
Can you remember, we were talking earlier about, Corey, like offensive line play is a league-wide, it's not great league-wide, and I'd say I bet you 25 to 27 fan bases think their offensive line sucks, right? Like it's just especially the first month of the season so bad. But I mean, this is an incredible run the Titans are on. Like, can you think of examples prior to this of teams going this long being this problematic up front?
Well, the Giants have been very bad on the offensive line for a long time. The Bengals, I remember watching Joe Burrow get just destroyed on their way to the Super Bowl. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl despite having a horrifically bad offensive line. You know, the Bears a few years ago, offensive line was an absolute sieve. But, I mean, look, since Mike Munchak left, and then, you know, when they got LaJuan and Ben Jones and Roger Saffold.
Conklin.
Conklin. But what do all those guys have in common? LaJuan's first-round pick. Conklin's a first-round pick.
Yep.
Saffold was a second-round pick. You know, Ben Jones was an established veteran. And, you know, they invested heavily in that spot. Now, we saw them invest heavily. They missed.
Over and over again.
Yeah, but missed badly. And, you know, so that goes to that. Since, and I'm not blaming the whole thing on John Robinson because he's been gone for a while, but since he drafted Jack Conklin, they have not added much to that room that's been very good.
They certainly have not. And as we've discussed with you, Corey, it's a massive year for J.C. Latham, and he enters into camp on PUP. So, I mean, look, he may be on PUP for 3 days and come into camp, and it ends up not being that big a deal. I don't know. I do know it's not a great look from, like, if you're a Titans fan looking at this saying, okay, critical year for J.C. Latham, and we're starting on PUP heading into camp. How concerning is that to you?
Well, it's not a great start because I don't know what the injury is. I mean, this is you know, the coaches always think that they're protecting players by not revealing what their injuries are. Maybe they are, but all it does is lead to knuckleheads like me and you and Joe speculating on what's wrong with the guy. You know, wondering how hurt he is. You know, wondering when he's going to be back. Wondering if he's going to have a terrible year now because of this. You know, is it a reoccurrence of the hip issue? I don't know. Does he have a hangnail on his pinky toe? I don't know. And so I don't know how big of a deal, you know, that it is. But it is a big year for him. You know, year three was the year that we saw Peter take his big leap, you know, to being a really good player. And look, this guy's a top 10 draft pick. He can't be an okay right tackle. He's got to be a really good one.
Yep.
And if he's not good with the questions they've got at center and right guard, it really amplifies that. And it's, you know, your whole line's a disaster at that point.
I agree, although I would actually argue that even okay, like they would take it. it's disappointing relative to the draft position, but like they just need to not be desperate at both spots, right?
Like, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'd like for him to be serviceable, but you know, what was he, the seventh pick of the draft?
He was.
Yeah, you need him to be a monster out there. I mean, you know, and especially, you know, if you're not going to invest in the guy next to him, he needs to be a dominant player. And, you know, can he do that? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I will say, you know, playing on the outside like that with a bad hip doesn't sound like the best thing for him last year. So we'll see if he's healthy this year, how much better he can be.
Corey, I'm going to try not to ride the training camp wave, as I like to call it, because everybody's going to hyper-focus in on Cam Ward here over the next few weeks. And I get it. He's the quarterback. So, I mean, I understand all that. I do think sometimes we make way too much out of training camp practices.
And we will again.
And how things go on that front. Having said all that, how are you feeling about Ward heading into year two here with what seems to be a much better complement of skill position players around him? We'll see how the line holds up. How are you feeling about Cam Ward heading into camp?
You know, I guess I feel the way I felt about him, you know, before. He's a hard worker who wants to be great. You know, he's going to put in the time to do it, and we're just going to have to see how it all plays out. I mean, we just are, and it would help if the team was good around him. That would certainly help as well. You know, and we saw last year. I will continue to go back to it. After Brian Callahan got fired, the Titans went from giving up 4.5 sacks a game to 2 sacks a game. Okay, the players stayed the same. Okay, Cam Ward went from like 4 touchdown passes or whatever it was to like 2 touchdown passes a game for 4 consecutive games. So I've seen the team elevate. I've seen Cam elevate when they've got a better game plan and better performance around him. You know, now as a number one pick in the draft, he's going to have to be a guy who gets to be so good that he helps elevate the people around him. But before he gets there, he's just got to be good. And so that's what we need to see.
Corey Curtis, every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, we've made it to football season. Congratulations. Way to go.
We did. Ish. This is number 23, 24 for me?
Yeah. You're an old wily veteran at this point, you know?
Yeah. I'd be lucky to make it through this one.
He's a wily veteran in 2010. I don't
know. Jeez.
I'm just saying. There's nothing wrong with being a wily veteran.
Sorry, I'm going to go get my walker and
Corey, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good luck, fellas.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say. And I want to throw this out there for Titan fans. Cam Ward threw 15 touchdowns last year. What is the minimum number that you'll be happy with this year? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. So Cam Ward, last year in a very trying rookie season for him and the Titans, 15 touchdown passes a year ago. As Corey mentioned in the last segment, I mean, forever he had like 4. And it was like, oh, okay. The Titans ever going to score a touchdown again? He ended up with 15 to close out the year. So my question is, as I said earlier in the show, Joe, I fully realize that the type of year that a quarterback has, there are more important numbers than touchdown passes at the end of the day. But just for reference, I mean, Matthew Stafford won the MVP last year. He threw for 46 touchdown passes. So in 46, way up here, 15, way down here. There's quite a gap in between those two numbers. If you look around the league, there weren't really a whole lot of high number touchdown passes last year, which is kind of interesting. Like Stafford had 46. Goff was the next closest at 34. It doesn't typically play out that way, but kind of a weird year last year. So my question for you is this, and I pose this to Titans fans as well, and we've already had some people texting in. What is the minimum number of touchdown passes from Cam Ward this year, assuming health in a 17-game season, that you would be okay with if you were a Titans fan out there? Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm looking at that list. So you had 19 guys who were 20 or more last year. That includes Brock Purdy at 20. He only played 9 games.
Yeah, pretty wild.
So to me, you need to be in the 20s. There were only 4 guys who were 30s or above last year. You know, Dak and Drake were right there behind Goff. But, yeah, Trevor Lawrence with 29. Darnold sitting there at 25, an incredible year that he had. You want to be in the 20s to me. And also to me, it like if you're at 20 but with like 14 picks or 25 with 14 picks, I mean, I'll take 20 with 8 picks, you know. Obviously, there's yards per attempt is a very important, you know, there's overall QB rating is important, completion percentage. You know, you certainly want that to go up. But I do. I like the touchdown stat. Just it's – I think generally quarterbacks with high numbers probably play for good teams.
Yep.
Probably you're playing in the playoffs, you know. And generally a lot of the low numbers are bad QBs or part-time QBs, bad teams. So put them in the 20s. If you can get into the 20s and keep those picks under double figures, that should be a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, I mean the picks last year for Ward were not really an issue. I mean, he threw 7 of them, which for a rookie quarterback I was happy with. Now the fumbles, I think got to get a little bit better, got to hold on the ball,
getting
a
sacked.
Little bit more, getting sacked, like, you know. There's definitely things he's got to work on that front, but you know, in terms of just purely interceptions, I thought he did a pretty good job of taking care of the football last year. So that was good to see. Listen, you know, people are all over the map with this. I mean, one texter said 16. So just give me one more than we got a year ago, and I'll be happy. As other people are saying, you know, 30. Like 30, I think, is a pretty high bar. I mean, you're doubling your touchdown total there. And again, you're talking about last year, a league that 4 guys in the league had 30 or more touchdown passes. Now, it goes in waves. Like, I mean, I'll just pull up a random year. So let's do 2023. So 2023, you had 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 guys still. So apparently 30 is the mark to get to. If you can get to 30 touchdown passes, you're going to be, in today's NFL, up there with the elite quarterbacks in this league. I'd be happy if he got to, like, 22. Like, if you get to 22 touchdown passes, and hopefully that would mean, you know, other places along the way, he'd be running in a couple, Pollard's running in a few. You know, maybe you're doing a reverse jet sweep to Chim Dike that actually gets more than 3 yards this year. That'd be nice to see. But, like, I don't need anything crazy. Like, I don't need him to get to 35. But if you could get to 22, 23, I think you'd start to, you know, be trending in the right direction on that front.
So now I've started to look at other things. And, you know, another thing you want is to not be vying for that league lead that he shared with Geno. So, we've got Geno and Cam combined 110 sacks, 55 apiece.
Yep.
He's starting that right out this year.
Well, there was a time he was on pace for, like, and it was like more than halfway through the season.
Yeah.
He was on pace for like 75 sacks.
Yeah. Yeah, so they cut it down. And that's a stat, too, where, like, you know, for the most part, you're probably talking about bad teams. Although, Justin Herbert, 54, boy, you kind of almost have to tip your cap to him considering that last year. Drake May was sitting there at 47 sacks and still had an MVP season or MVP-ish season. But then you got Jacoby.
Yeah.
You know.
Big money Jacoby. Getting sacked 43 times.
You know, sacks, I mean, it's an offensive line number, but can also be a – it can also be a, you know, I think Cam Ward, certainly. Cam Ward was responsible for some of those, or he made some situations worse. And sometimes the way he plays, there's probably, like, he's going to run himself into some sacks sometimes with some of the stuff he likes to do.
Yes.
But obviously you want that to go. If you take about, you know, 10 of those sacks and make them touchdown passes, you're on your way.
Dennis is better. Right now, I'm not sold on Ward, but you guys earlier were talking about Trevor Lawrence. I hope the Titans give Cam Ward the time to get better like Trevor Lawrence has had.
And I wrote back, well, if he throws for 4,100, 25 touchdowns, 8 picks, and wins a playoff game this year,
he'll get
like Trevor did, and we will be talking about Cam Ward for a few years. Now, I say that, and Marcus Mariota had a great second year, and he still was edged out by year five. I mean, they picked up his option. They didn't give him the second deal. So it can still go somewhat quicker.
It can.
But if you have a year like that, a great second year, I mean, I think you've bought yourself some time, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, if he got the – I mean, what did he throw for last year? 3,100 yards, somewhere in that neighborhood? I mean, if he got 22 touchdown passes – and 3,800 yards this year, and the Titans went 7-10. People around here are going to be excited as all get out about it, right? And that's not a high bar in the NFL, but that's how bad it's been. So, like, if he gets to 22 touchdowns, 3,800 yards, 7 picks, and the Titans win 7 games, I mean, people are going to be going gaga around here over Cam Ward. So, I don't think the bar is that high for him to remain in pretty strong favor with the majority of the Titans fan base this year. But you got to go do it.
Yeah, exactly. Another, you know, another stat, obviously, like I said earlier, like YPA, yards per attempt, which, by the way, in case you didn't know, Jameis Winston was second in the league last year.
Of course he was.
8.6 in his 3 games of play. But Drake May, 8.9 to lead the league. Then you get Darnold at 8.5, Lamar Jackson at 8.4. You got Josh Allen at 8, Goff 7.9, Stafford 7.9. You also sneak in Daniel Jones with an 8.1. That is generally a pretty strong, statistical parallel with team success. You don't see a lot of guys with a good number there. And Cam Ward, 34th in the league at 5.9. So, can Cam Ward get his YPA to around 7? That would speak to, along with some of these other things, that would definitely speak to significant improvement.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, the top guys are about 8.9. I mean, it goes back to like Tannehill when he was
9.6.
And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, Tannehill 9.6 with his whatever his completion percentage was. Yeah, the first one since Joe Montana. The great Joe Montana in 1989.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Training camp this week for the Tennessee Titans. What are the non-Cam Ward storylines that you're most looking forward to heading into camp? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. One texter says, I feel like with this season I'm going into it optimistically with what the Titans have done. However, as a Titans fan, I'm also fully ready for everything to blow up, and we have another 3-win season, but at least it appears Amy wants to win and is putting in the effort to try.
I mean, I think Amy has wanted to win and has won and has just made bad choices.
Yeah.
Right? And overreaction-based choices.
One texter says, the Cam going to be running for his life this year. The O-line did not get enough attention this year.
Yeah.
That is the fear.
That is the fear. And, of course, that's the fear that potentially muddles the evaluation of him, too. I mean, I can envision a lot of screaming back and forth on, well, you can't blame him. Look at the O-line. But You know, can you not evaluate a quarterback at all, even if he has? Corey was talking earlier about Joe Burrow. There's an example of a quarterback overcoming that. Dennis says, a texter earlier said they didn't like Cam's demeanor. I'm not a Cam do. Wait, Cam. Yeah, I'm not a Cam do. But I haven't seen anything demeanor-wise I didn't like. But if he doesn't have a great second year, how patient will they be with him? It seems like teams bail on QBs quick in this league now. So, Dennis,
how bad is
a confirmed Cambivalent. Not a what are you doing, not a Cam do. That's fine. I think most people are Cambivalents. Yeah, I think the Titans will be very patient with him because
there's a lot riding on it.
Remember, the whole Marcus thing, which still was – he had a great second year. They won a playoff game his third year, but his performance went down. He had an injury just packed fourth year with Vrabel's debut, and then a few games into his fifth year, he was done. That's still like going into your fifth year, right? Well, that GM didn't pick Marcus. This GM did pick Marcus.
Yep.
Or did pick Cam. And so I think the patience level will be extremely high. It's really interesting because the trend has been teams giving up so quickly, but now that the trend continues to grow with quarterbacks finding their footing in their second stops, I wonder if patience starts to grow too.
I would bet
that this place, and I could be wrong because we don't know if the owner's going to be patient with the people who made the decision. Like if it's a terrible year this year, we're going to be sitting there talking about, uh-oh, is someone going to be zapped now? But I think that this front office – if they're allowed to continue to do their jobs, I think they'll be extremely patient with them.
I would agree. However, I mean, this is also the same league where J.J. McCarthy was taken number 10 by Minnesota in 2024, was out his entire rookie year because of injury, played like, what did he play last year, 10 games maybe, and now he's basically out in Minnesota. Like, Charles has been on with us every week saying, the Kyler Murray, J.J. McCarthy competition in Minnesota is not a competition. Kyler Murray is going to be the starting quarterback.
It's funny that you're saying this right now because Dan Graziano on ESPN is saying it is an overreaction to say that Kyler Murray – I mean, there's some question about it, but regardless, your point is well taken on him. I mean, people are ready to just give up on him, and it's like snap your fingers.
He's 23 years old, and he's played – I mean, what did he play last year? Did he play more than 10 games? He played, let's see here, 10 games on the dot last year.
And people are,
He's 10 games into his NFL career, and people are like, yep, all right, see ya.
Yeah. And sometimes when people react that quickly to a quarterback, and they're right, like with Josh Rosen, okay, it just was a terrible pick. It's crazy how that can happen, but it can happen. So maybe he's one of those. I think – for the most part, there's going to be some more patience around the league with some guys or a lot of guys. I think Cam Ward should be one of them. But Will Levis also had a quick stint. It was also a second round pick. I pick one, in the draft. Man,
it's hard to give up on that.
You got to see that through. Because if you're Mike Borgonzi and it's real bad this year, and it's starting to look that way, well, then aren't you just about to be bounced yourself?
I mean, probably.
We don't know all the other things. We don't know. Maybe
especially around here.
Yeah. Maybe Oladejo's awesome, and then also Falk is, and it's like, man, look at all the other good things. But, I mean, this is your tenure here hinges on Cam Ward.
Dennis says, the player I'm most interested in during camp outside of Ward, Oladejo. Hopefully fully recovered, second year, solid, could help him progress, needs to step up. We talked about that earlier, the edge rusher group here. Throw Oladejo in there, throw Falk in there, who might be the most under-discussed first-round pick of all time heading into all this based on Tate going at number four. Those two, incredibly important, not just for the now, but for the long term. Because think about this scenario, and I think we're probably too early on the Falk stuff even after 1 year. But think if they're heading into the offseason next year and it's like, well, you guys definitely need a left tackle. Latham didn't work out, so you're going to need a right tackle. And Oladejo is a complete bust, so you're going to need another edge rusher to go along with it. I mean, that's not a good spot to be in if you're the Titans.
No. No. You can talk your – this is the time of year to talk yourself into optimistic outcomes, and I think we can do that. But you can also – it is not hard with this group to flip it around to – a complete
disaster.
Yeah, just another complete like you can't yeah you can't have another two or three win season here, right? Like you gotta show some movement in a positive direction.
Not only you can't, like you shouldn't have another three win year. No. Like this should be a team, not that is some playoff team, but this should be a team with the investment level you got in quarterback, with the investment level you've got in quarterback and wide receiver alone, you should be able to get to five wins this year, right? Like you ought to be moving up in the right direction in a league that is designed for you to get to the middle of the pack. And if you can't do that for the third year in a row, I'm sorry, that's gross incompetence. Like, you know, barring some crazy run of injury this year, that's gross incompetence if you can't do that.
Yeah, you're starting to really raise your hand and be like, we are the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
You know, we're one of those franchises. We're just one of the bad franchises. And that's really not the history of this franchise. You've had dips. You've had ups and downs. You have not won the ultimate prize, but you haven't. I mean, even the Oilers, the old Oilers of like post-Bum Phillips, early 80s, they had some real, real bad teams. But they drafted offensive linemen, in like all-time great in a couple cases, to totally rebuild their team. And before long, they were like a really good team for quite a stretch there. And, you know, this is the cycle down in the history of this franchise typically are ending by now. So this would be the year that you start to end that.
Yeah, they don't bottom out forever. Like, since they've been the Titans, they were bad in 2004 and 2005. They were 5-11, 4-12.
Yeah, so that was the cap purge of all those great teams and, you know, the painful reality of the cycle.
And then they got back into the thick of it. And, you know, from 2005 to when 2008 came around, you're 13-3. You're the one seed. Like, you snap out of it. You know, 2014 and 2015, they were awful.
Yep.
They were 2-14 and 3-13. It was completely horrific to watch.
And then luckily they had Marcus who dragged them out of the
And
month.
Then the next year they were 9-7. And then they were 9-7 4 years in a row after that. And then they ended up, you know, getting to be the number one seed in the AFC in 2021. Well, this is 2 years in a row of 3-14. If it stretches to a third year of that crap, I mean, you're talking about unprecedented territory, right? From when you've moved to Nashville, at least.
It means you're defying what the NFL has built for you to do. Like you are not taking advantage of what the NFL provides you. It just means you're a bad, incompetent franchise.
Ian, top storyline, non-cam award related for you heading into Titans camp.
Non-cam award. I think it's going to be either the offensive line, which is going to be tough to kind of evaluate in camp, unfortunately, you know, with the O-line. Keeping an eye on Latham and his injury status for sure, whether or not he can actually get out there. At least some consistency within the practice of the five, maybe get a little chemistry. Grant, because you can only do so much in camp with the big guys, right?
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting to see. At least can we have some, you know, consistency about who's out there practicing. Can they get into some type of chemistry rhythm? So I'm going to be looking at the offensive line. And then the other thing I think that's going to be important for the team as far as just like a baseline this year is going to be the defense. Like, how does it look under Saleh? What kind of rotation are we going to see on the defensive line? Which, I guess, offensive line and defensive line, you know, keeping up with that in training camp is always risky, because the big guys can only do so much. But I think the line of scrimmage in particular is going to be something I'm going to look for this year, because it's been so up and down the last few years. What kind of consistency can they get out there? Who's going to play? Can they be out there on the reg? That's kind of what I want to see. Chemistry, really, between the offensive line and the defensive line. Because when Vrabel was rolling the four and the defensive line, the chemistry and the games, quote-unquote, that they used to play about outside guys looping in, Autry or Simmons kind of looping out, those ended up being – those were very effective. Can they come up with something similar with that, with this kind of defensive scheme? Because as long as the defense is okay, that means the floor for the Titans will be solid.
We'll move up. Yeah.
And that, you know, for us to get us to 5-6 wins is a start. Maybe something to build on.
Yep.
Yeah, Dennis, most interested in Oladejo. I mean, I think he's up there. Yeah, like if Saleh can come in and have turned that guy into someone who looks like he has a future in the NFL. That reflects well on Sal. I think the defensive front's gonna be pretty good.
I mean, I can see
that's even without him. I mean, I'm not even really counting him in that equation. What if he is good?
I'm trying to think of like the players outside of Cam that we're most likely to like overreact to on the positive and overreact to on the negative in Cam. Like the positive is probably definitely Carnell Tate. Like if Carnell Tate is out there just making plays every day in camp, people are like, they have Ja'Marr Chase out here in camp. And we'll see what I'm trying to think of who the negative player would be.
I mean, JC, Latham gets beat. Latham gets beat by anybody at any point. It will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's it?
And they may be right. It may not be an overreaction, but it'll be a reaction.
Yep. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on Titans camp, plus a developing story in college football that we'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. People throwing out Kevin Winston Jr. Interested to see how he plays.
It is funny how we haven't mentioned him today. Like almost feel like he's going to be an assumed nice piece for the defense.
Yeah.
We don't know that. They need him to be.
They need him to be.
TD has given him high praise.
Kuharski hesitant on the Kevin Winston Jr. front.
I made him the breakout player.
You did.
At the Athletic, all 32. But, yeah, it's like, is he, you know, is the ball going over his head? Because you want that guy. Certainly we know he's going to be good in the box, but is he, you know, can he play? Can he take the middle of the field and handle that? And be a good all-around safety.
That would be nice. The more good all-around players they can get in the secondary, the more I'm cool with it. I mean, I said it earlier, like, not only do they need Flott and Taylor to be healthy, because if they're not, that's going to be a big problem for the Titans. They need to be, like, worth the money that they're getting paid, right? Like, I mean, they did invest somewhat heavily into corner this offseason. If you want to go by just pure cash. So, like, they need those guys to be worth the money that the Titans have put into it. And, you know, we'll see. Like, do I think that Alante Taylor is, like, a number one corner? No, not really. But can you both be, like, pretty good number twos, right? Like, I'll take that right now. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they're going to
play all
year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And eventually they're going to need to find, you know, not to get back into the draft, but they're going to need to find, like, that next young stud corner at some point, which is why another reason why it's so crucial for all these other positions that they've already invested in to work out, because you're going to need to invest in more moving forward. But yeah, like I would sign up right now for like Taylor and Flott both being like pretty good level two corners, and I'd roll with that. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, everyone wants the lockdown corner that you can just travel with any receiver that you may come across or whatever. And some schemes don't do a lot of that anyway. But if you are solid at corner and you actually have a pass rush,
yeah,
you'll look a lot more solid. And, again, those guys can be available. They can play. And that's one of the top positions where I think depth is a real question.
North Carolina has announced this morning, Joe, that their football GM, Michael Lombardi, who has been with Bill Belichick for a long time, has been placed on paid administrative leave by the university. There are no other details that are involved here other than he has been placed on paid administrative leave. It is effective immediately. And the statement that they put out there, quote, as is standard procedure with personnel matters, leadership, staff, and student athletes are prohibited from addressing this topic further and has no reflection on the merits. That was the statement.
Is that English?
That was put out there by North Carolina. Show your thoughts on Michael Lombardi on paid administrative leave just before college football season is beginning here.
Let me just real quick read this again. As a standard procedure with personnel matters, leadership, staff, and student athletes are prohibited from addressing this topic further, comma, and has no reflection on the merits?
Look, man.
What in the hell is happening at North Carolina? You can't even put out a PR statement that's an English sentence? Yeah, tell you what, I know this may be a little hot takey, but I'm telling This Bill Belichick thing is just a complete disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Just an absolute and before this happened, and I again, like you said, we don't know. We don't know why this happened, but I'm pretty confident it's not just like he's bad at his job. They're all bad at their job. He's Belichick's boy. I mean, so something happened here to get him on administrative leave. Before this happened, I would have told you, the people who know that program and team, like Ubben has been around them a lot. He lives over there in Charlotte now. And Brendan Marks, our guy who covers Hoos, but he knows the athletic department. Like, they're going to be terrible this year. They're going to be terrible. So, you got all the Jordan Hudson stuff. You got just no clue about how to compete in this era. You bring in your buddy here, pay him a lot of money to be a GM, and apparently he thinks he's an NFL GM or something. I don't know. Now he's on administrative leave. This is, you know, Belichick's legacy to some extent is secure, but he's doing his damnedest to try to savage it right
now. He is absolutely, he's doing a great job of tanking it, man. Like, and again, not to get back into like the Brady stuff, but it is objectively amazing looking at his coaching career before and his coaching career after. And I understand there's a long gap in between those two things of before and after, but it is amazing the way that it has played out. It's looking like the college football part of this experiment is just going to be a total failure on that front. And then you get back into the NFL stuff of when Brady left and they just went to crap and he immediately goes and wins the Super Bowl. And it's just, to your point, the legacy secure. He's going to, I think, be in the Hall of Fame, even though I was stunned he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. But he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But good grief, man. Like, it is, it's doing some damage over the last few years to his legacy.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like, I mean, first of all, North Carolina, when he emerged.
Good investment.
Well, there were a lot of people at North Carolina, including, I believe, the AD at the time, who were like, we need to go get a up-and-coming, rising coach who's going to hopefully be here a long time and build a program. And, you know, it became a battle of money people. And one side won out, and they gave a whole bunch to Bill Belichick. And it appears he is, like, just
incompetent.
Just doing, yeah, like, nothing good. I mean, so maybe they'll surprise on the field. But, like, this thing, there's a lot more to come on this story. No clue. Not going to speculate what it is. But you don't put someone on paid. I mean, this is not just like a, yeah, this roster looks bad. It's looked bad the whole time.
Like, yeah, you're not just making that determination on July the 27th. Yeah.
So now, after all of the stuff that's gone along with Jordan Hudson, who continues to, like, submit FOIA requests so she can read everybody's emails who works at North Carolina.
She probably put out that statement today.
I was going to say, she may have.
I mean, maybe they need her to, maybe they can give her
proofread
something
it?
To do.
AI.
Yeah,
perhaps it's AI. Probably ChatGPT.
I mean, I seriously, someone needs to interpret that sentence for me. But now you throw this into the mix, and let's find out what the heck happened with Michael Lombardi. Why is he on the verge of getting fired here? Man, it's like Dion and Belichick should just go. We should just put them in the Duke's Mayo Bowl right now and just dunk them both in mayonnaise.
I mean, that's assuming either one of them make a bowl. That's amazing.
I would bet on neither of them actually making a bowl game
too.
This year.
I think I would too. By the way, they open up their season. North Carolina does against TCU.
Yeah, in Ireland.
Yeah,
because Bill Belichick was asked about that. Hey, what do you think about going to Ireland? You know, I've been in a lot of Super Bowls. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, we did.
Appreciate it. Good
we
stuff.
We did know
there.
That.
Well, see how that goes. But yeah, to your point, I don't think you just randomly get put on paid administrative leave if you're Michael Lombardi. Who knows?
I remember there's some people last year like, is North Carolina going to become a football school?
Yeah.
No, it will not. Ever.
The answer is no. And again,
they might get rid of the program now.
Indiana just won the football national championship.
That's right.
That's going to do it for us today on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. It is Ryan. For years, Chumba has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.